We just have to figure it out. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. So what came first? Mercy? Great love? We were... even when we were dead in sins, he hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Grace is the gift of life, the gift of salvation. He made us alive. He did it because of his mercy, his great mercy. You know, mercy is given to someone when they can't help themselves. You assist them when they can't help themselves. Remember the parable of the guy on the side of the road, the Good Samaritan. First time mercy is used in the Bible is Lot, when the angel of the Lord grabs him by the hand and drags him out after he's been warned a number of times. And he's running around trying to get his kids to get out, and they don't believe him. So the angel grabs him and takes him and his wife and his other daughters out. That's mercy. When you're not even smart enough, able to, or physically capable of helping yourself. Dead, you can't fix. We were totally, completely unfixable as far as our ability. Or anybody else's that loved us. That you can't fix. His mercy, his love, and then he made us alive by grace. He made us alive by grace. Are you saved? You have been made alive. Your problem was you were dead. You belong to the devil. You work for the devil, you live for him, you deserve what the devil's going to get. But because of God's mercy, love, and grace, he made you alive. You've become new people. I really don't think, you know, seriously, I say this very seriously. I don't think we think of this very often. I don't think we think of this being brand new, created people very often. And he has raised us up, verse 6, together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places. God has made us and put us in his realm now. You and I who have believed on him, he made us alive by his grace, and he has raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly realm with Christ Jesus. Is Christ Jesus alive today? Okay, most people think, oh, the heavenly realm, I'm up there with him, where he's located. He's seated at the right hand of God. That's not what it says. He's put us in the heavenly realm with Christ Jesus. Our Lord is seated next to the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. He told the people in the Gospels and all of the rest of us, he says, I'm not taking you out of the world. I'm leaving you in the world, so that you can do the job you're supposed to do. You and I, in this basement here today, are in the heavenly realm. We are under God's rule, protection, blessings. He's the one working in us, the willing to do of his good pleasure. He is the one who has given you peace, or to the measure that you have renewed your mind in the scriptures. You are spiritual men and women and you're not no longer belong to the devil. You belong in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm, God's realm. I'll keep going on this. That in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches and grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. How did this grace? You were saved by grace, and the qualification that was necessary on your part was faith. Faith is a noun. It's a person, place, or thing. Faith can be translated trust, confidence, all right? It's a noun. It's something you have. When you were an unbeliever, when you belonged to the devil, you had the ability to have faith. You had the ability to have confidence and trust. You did. It's not, you know, faith is something that you had, that you could do as an unbeliever. You were given a choice. You were given the information of believing the gospel that Jesus Christ was Lord. You believed that he died for you, that God raised him, and you had confidence and trust in what God has done and said, and therefore you were saved. You received the grace of God at that moment. It says it back here. We studied Ephesians. Look at verse 10. Verse 12. It says that we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom also after that you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. See, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you received the Spirit. When you believed, when you had faith, you were saved. By grace at that. You got eternal life promised to you, and you have gotten the token, the Spirit, to prove it at that particular point. Now, we have to stay faithful here a lifetime, but the point is, this was the moment. You've been transferred into the heavenly kingdom of your Father. You are with Christ. He's got a job to do. You got a job to do. But you are spiritual beings, and you are God's children. His children. You're no longer children of the prince of the power of the air. Look at... down a little bit further. Verse 10. Well, let's just read 8 again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace is a gift. You had nothing to do. It just was given to you. And all he asked you to do was believe, have faith in that word that he had given. It says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is what he wants to do. He has translated us into this kingdom, his kingdom. He has given us the tools. He gave us the Spirit. We have God-given abilities to do what he says to do. We have his word to carry out in our own lives and in reconciling the world back to him. We have these things. And we are his workmanship. You're not your own workmanship. The John McCabe that long changed after I learned the word is not, it's not me anymore. I changed that a long time ago. Now, it's the old man is always with you. We're going to start reading this here in a little bit. It's always with you. It hasn't been taken care of yet. When it's completely taken care of, the Lord comes back, I get a new body, I get a new mind. I still have this dead body hanging out in me. And boy, it shows up and it's ugly. You know, it's ugly. The imaginations of the things that run through my mind are just incredibly evil. And I believe we're all plagued with the same garbage. I don't have to spell it out for you. Look at, and the reason now you're God's children, you're God's designed. In 22, it says, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. See, God is working in you the way he worked in Christ. We've gone through this plenty of times before. But I want you to understand, this whole salvation thing, you were dead. You walked with the devil. You were his child. You belonged to him. Lock, stock, and barrel, and you were dead. And this miracle, this is not just a little religious ceremony. This is not just something that you can throw in your hat or purse on Sunday morning. You know, I mean, this is what I don't believe most people really ponder. You belong to God. Nobody's got a right to touch you. You're his workmanship. You're his habitation. Quite a privilege. Quite an absolute privilege. Look at John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, but as many as receive him, talking about God Almighty, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When you believed, he gave you the power to choose to be his son because of faith. Look at, Jesus Christ taught this lesson to all the apostles. I've taught this a number of times. Don't mind repeating it again. But in John chapters 13 at the Last Supper, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, a very long teaching. Wonderful fellowship. Wish I was kind of there. In some ways I do, some ways I don't, because nobody who was there who belonged to the devil at the time lasted. They didn't make it through the garden. They ran. They didn't have the spirit yet. They didn't have God's nature yet. They loved Jesus. They loved him. Just like a natural man can love another one. When things go bad, I got to take care of number one. I'll stand up for a minute. Peter cut the ear off of the guy. I'll stand up for a minute, but then, you know, there's a time. And they were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. I am not knocking, nor am I belittling these men. Just remember, one of them who was ordained an apostle sold him out for 30 pieces of silver and betrayed him with a kiss. That's the nature, the old. Jesus Christ taught them that if you serve like I serve, in John 13 through 17, if you serve like I have served, if you love like I have loved, and if you obey God's word the way I obey God, that Spirit is going to be poured out, and that Spirit is going to be your counselor. And it will be just like having me personally present with you for the rest of your life. That is what you and I, as I speak to you, have. You have the counsel, the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, within you. On your best day, on your worst day. In the night, and in the day, when you're poor and when you're rich, you have his counsel in you all the time. You're never alone. And yet, most Christians never pursue mastering that part of their Christian walk. And when I say most, I mean the vast majority of people out there. The vast majority of people out there are hardly even aware that he got up from the dead. They're hardly even aware that Jesus really suffered, because they don't, not quite sure if he was man or God. They don't have very much going for them. Now, the Bible-believing ones, they have a lot going for them, but even few of those, and few in our church through all the years that I've ministered, really pursue mastering, walking with the Lord, walking by the Spirit. You know, I don't know if I have. I keep pursuing it. I continue to pursue it. I seek it, I desire it, and I, to some measure, I have. But there's a heck of a lot more. I mean, if just chill. Just chill for a moment. If Jesus was right here, how peaceful would you be? How happy would you be? How joyful would you be? How much freedom of fear would you have? If he was right here. If you had a need, do you think it would be taken care of? Do you think you could ask if he was sitting right there where Kenny usually sits? I mean, when Kenny sits there, Christ is there. Can you work this in your head? All right? I know I'm overdoing it, but it's okay. It's okay. It's part of the teaching. That's the kind of thinking that you should have all the time. You know, I know churches have gone through what would Jesus do? And they had that. And that's nice. Yeah, okay, what would Jesus do right now? Or God is my co-pilot. You know, type bumper sticker things people do. But have you really ever thought about that He is in me? Whatever it is that I need, it's within the power of my Lord to help me with and do. Whatever it is. Go to, I just want to bring back to your thinking a couple of verses. Luke 24, just across the page from John. In verse 49 it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed with power from on high." The Spirit that was given to you when you believed the gospel is you are clothed. Just like you're wearing clothes now, you are clothed with power from on high. This He spake to them just before He ascended. In Acts chapter 1, see, I don't think most people think when you're clothed with power from on high, you're thinking, you know, I got God. God in Christ is in me. I am just smothered, fully dressed with that. It's called baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts. It's where you get immersed. For real. It says in verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them," the same moment as Luke 24, "being assembled together with them, He commanded them that should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard of me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days hence.' And they therefore were come together. They asked Him, saying, 'Lord, will Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?'" Is the kingdom coming now? Great question. "And He said unto them, 'It is not for you to know that the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.'" And then He was lifted up and went to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. And they're standing there with their mouth open looking. Ten days later, they get the Spirit. 10 days later, everything that Jesus said to them has come to pass. And they got what they got. And you know how they acted? They were different. They didn't run away anymore. They were different. These are new people. They stood there in the midst of thousands in front of the same people that crucified and beat our Lord and Savior. They were bold, and they spoke the word of God without hesitation, without flinching, without the little quiver in the voice. They spoke with boldness, and they manifested the power of God, and thousands believed. And then they'd walk around town, right? See, God would say, hey, because God is the one working in them. He's the one making them. All right? He is their His handiwork. He sees lame man who's been there ever since he's a little kid. He's 40 years old. Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. This guy gets up, dances, and the whole neighborhood sees it. The whole temple is rocking. You want to witness? Do it with the power of God within you. All right? You don't need a lot of rhymes and a lot of hoop and holler. You don't need a lot of the band. You know, that's how it seems to me most churches get everybody in the mood, is the music. No, such as I got nothing in my pocket, pal. Such as I have, give I thee. He's clothed with power from on high. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, and 5,000 more believe. And the people that are run by the devil, the people who killed Jesus, and the people who still in this world who are run by the devil just happen to be religious people. Those are the ones that think they're spiritual, right? They grab them and throw them in jail. And again, their boldness is incredible. You just read those records in Acts. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a children's story. This is what happens when the Spirit of God is manifest in the people of God's life. And there were some that died. Stephen died, but he preached. I tell you what, he did his job. The Lord was so blessed, he stood up. And he died, loving man. Don't count this to their charge. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, that's not First Peter, that's the next book. James is nice, but it didn't do the job. First Peter 2, 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's King James. The ESV version, English Standard Version. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, why does he use the word race? It's the word genos in Greek. You know, everything after its own kind, right? Most of us, we are the human race. I know that the popular way to think about race is color, right? We are the human race. That's our genos. That was sold to the devil. Mankind was sold to the devil. You believed, and by God's grace, he made you alive and put you in his kingdom. And he calls you a new genos, a new race. You are a new race. You are a royal priesthood. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is our high priest, and he is king and priest, and sits and serves right now at the right hand of the throne of God. You are a priesthood. You know what priests do, guys? I mean, the short version here. I tried to put together a set of teachings in the book I did a long time ago. You know, it's still on Amazon, believe it or not. Just buried someplace in there. Yeah. Worship God's Desire for All Ages. Nobody's bought it in years, but that's okay. I got it. You are a priesthood because you serve God. You give to God. It says here in King James that you should show forth the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You show his praise. When we pray, when we sing, when we speak in tongues, when we manifest the Spirit, when we give God the glory in our lives, when we speak his word, we are this is the sacrifice of the fruit of our lips. And you know who gets blessed? Him. It says in Revelation that those prayers go up like incense. And then it talks about so many of the other things, giving. You know, when you abundantly share, that's part of the sacrifice that you give to God. When you do a loving act for somebody else, the sacrifice of loving, doing good, I think it says. And then the sacrifice of walking in love like Christ walked, the sacrifice of holy living, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. To think and to live his word, to do it his way instead of somebody else's. All of these things are we serving God as priests. You know, all the ladies in the Catholic Church are upset because they don't get to be priests. Well, all you ladies are priests. All you got to do is read it. Don't let nobody take it away from you. And all you guys that think you're bums, you're priests. That's what I thought for years because I didn't really understand nor believe the transformation. I am no longer John McCabe that was born in 1952. I am a new man. And it says it so many times. And I'll try to hurry up. In Hebrews 13:21, just write it down. It says that we are to walk in a way that glorifies our God. In Philippians 2:13, we're closer to that. Let's go there. Philippians 2:13, for it is God that works within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. But look at what it says after that. Well, look at what it says in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I thought we were saved by grace. Yeah, we are. Okay? We're made alive by grace. Now it's your turn to walk. You work out. That's what I said. Most Christians never discipline themselves to believe what it says about the power that they have, about God working within you, about being obedient like Christ said. Remember? Serve like I served, love like I loved, obey God the way I have obeyed. And that spirit is going to be the replacement for me while I'm no longer with you. This is the working out of your own salvation. This is disciplining yourself to walk in that newness of life that he talks about in the scriptures. And you do this with fear. This is important. And trembling. This is really important. How different words do you want to use for that? You do this because it is vitally important. For it is God that works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, without complaining and bitching. Don't be fighting about the things that you have to do in life. Everybody's got to do stuff that nobody wants to do. You know, it's like when you were a kid, mow the lawn, go to the grocery store, walk the dog, whatever it was, I didn't want to do. And all I would do would be murmur and dispute. Well, there's a whole lot of things in this life, walking with God, that you're going to feel like murmuring and disputing. Don't do it. And the point is that you might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, a really bent and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, why do you want to help that guy on the side of the road? I really don't want to do this. This fellow stinks. He's probably got lice. Let me help him anyhow. You know what? But at the same time, you don't help people stay where they are. So many people help so often and so much that this person never changes. I get all my meals from the mission. Why do I got to change? Maybe we should let them get a little closer to death, and that would help them to pick themselves and change. Oh, that's a terrible thing to say, put on the tape. It's the truth. You can enable, I think they call it enabling, right? You can enable somebody to death. So there's a lot of wisdom in doing this. Point is, if you got God working within you and he's the one directing you, you'll do well. You don't have to sweat it. But you're the ones that are the lights in the world. You're the ones that are in this crooked and corrupt, bent disaster of a planet that we live on. And you're the ones that show forth the light. That's why you do it without murmuring and disputing. Look at Colossians chapter 1. It's a page over. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has made us adequate to be partakers of this, the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has transported us into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, again, it says it. He has transported us from the devil's domain to the domain of his Son, in whom we have received redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You have been transported. You've been changed. Okay? Now you've been transported. You're no longer in the domain of darkness, but you've been transferred to the kingdom of his dear Son. We are in the spiritual realm of our Father, okay? We are sons who have been transferred. We have been made alive, created in Christ Jesus. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." You have been translated and transported into this kingdom, the realm of your Father and our Lord. And you are absolutely, completely complete in him. And he is the head of all principality. And there's nothing that dominates you. There is there is nothing that can defeat you. Even when Stephen was stoned to death, he was not defeated. You get the difference? If you are sons of the living God, if you got an inheritance for eternity, you can't lose. You can't be defeated. You can be killed. Plenty of the prophets were killed. Plenty of the believers were killed. You can be jailed. You can be a lot of things, but you can't be defeated. Not if you stand. You're in the kingdom of his, your Father's. I mean, if God says, "I want my Peter out of jail," guess what happens? The guards go blind. The angels swing the doors open. They kick you in the butt. The chains fall off your hand. And where am I? Out in the middle of the street. Oh, I guess the Lord got me here. Talk about a man who sleeps deeply. I mean, if that's what he wants, that's what he's getting. If he wants a Philip to be transported from one place to another to meet a guy in a chariot, if that's what he wants, that's what he's going to get. I mean, are we willing to walk in this spiritual realm as spiritual people? Or are we still going to stay in the pettiness, in the selfishness of the realm of the adversary in our lives? We choose that every day, and really every minute, every time I open my mouth. And again, sometimes my choices are not the best. A lot of times. That's why I'm still working on this thing. Look at what it says here. You know, we respond to this grace. We respond by our walk. We respond to everything that God has given to. See, this is all what God has done. All I got to do is believe it. I have to choose to discipline myself to do this. I have to choose to walk. Remember we talked about walking in holiness in Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just go back there for a minute. Subject. But I want to just bring a couple of verses to your attention. It says in verse 17, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Don't walk like your old friends or the unbelievers in the vanity of their minds. Remember we talked about vanity? It's the fruitlessness. It's totally, you know, it's a waste of time what's going through their head. It's aimlessness. They having their understanding darkened. They don't have any light. They don't have any word. They're aliens from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Now this word lasciviousness is one that in the Greek is a wanton violence. They've given themselves over to violence. You know, let's beat my wife. If I don't get my way, let me beat that. All right? Let me take what I want when I want it. There's no rules anymore, right? In our society, you get to see what happens when the cops don't show up. No, we don't want you to bust the little crimes. You can take as much as you want, up to $900, and you can go home and there's no penalty for this. So guess what happens? People become more animal because there's no penalty. And then the rest of us who are fools who pay for things, and I choose to be a fool. I do it for God. That's it. I got a moral. I do it for God. Those of us who choose to live right and do this thing correctly for God, all right, we get affected anyhow by all those other things because stores close, neighborhoods, you know, go bad, all the rest of it. That's just the way it is. The law was made for the lawless, it says in the scripture, not for the righteous. But people don't believe this stuff. So this is this kind of thing that they have in their head, these unbelievers. They're past feeling, and they've given themselves over to wanton violence, to work on cleanness with greediness. See, that's why it's not just sex. Lasciviousness is not just sex. This is a wanton violence. This is within them like sex, but it's I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and it doesn't matter what it's going to cost you. I'll be very happy to beat you for it. And it's greediness. We don't want to be like that. That's the point. Paints a beautiful picture of what it was like to walk with the Prince of Darkness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard of him and you have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, you put off concerning the former conversation, the former behavior, the old man. This is how the scripture defines the old nature, the realm of Satan, with the new nature. You put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Walking on holiness, God made it available for you to do. You can't walk in holiness without the Spirit of God. God created. Remember, you're a new race. You're a brand new genos. Wherefore, put away all this stuff. Put away lying, speak truth, and all so forth. I mean, your behavior changes. And look how simple a change we're talking about. Don't lie no more. How many people lied like a rug? They lied and lied and lied and lied. They could weave it into a rug, for crying out loud, about all their lies. They couldn't even keep it straight. And that's what happens when you get old. You can't keep all your lies straight. You look like a fool, too. So, Romans chapter 5. The problem with mankind was sin in Romans 5. In 18, verse 18, wherefore, as by one offense, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. When Adam sinned, he sold you and me his children. We are the children of Adam and by our flesh. He sold every single one of us out when he sinned. By the judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one. The free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Jesus Christ, by his obedience, by his one act, he paid for. He died for. His blood washed us. He redeemed us. He justified us. He sanctified us. It was what God wanted. Now we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, to live for him. See, salvation has got nothing to do with works, but being faithful has got everything to do with good works. It's a response for the gift that you've been given. It's a proper response for the gift and all the love and beauty that you were saved. You were dead. Now because I'm alive, I can live for him. Romans 6, verse 1 to 23, you should read it today. I just want to read verse 4 here. It says, wherefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death. When he died, you and I, our old man flesh, the sin nature, the part that belonged to the devil, died. When he died, that died with the baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We are to walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together, I love King Jimmy. You've been planted in the grave. You're like a flower pot. You've been planted in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, the old nature, the old genos, is crucified with him, that body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. We served it. We served. We belong to that old man nature. And you know what? God made us alive. He transported us into his kingdom. He has given us power and love. He's given us his word. He's given us the spirit. He's given us everything. Everything, guys. That's why we can renew our mind. We can act like priests and live for him. And, you know, we can walk in victory. You can't take it away. You can give it away. You can sell it. I know, just look at the examples in the Word. There are people, Esau sold his birthright. You can sell the things of God for a bowl of soup. And I really believe that. You know, Judas sold. Jesus said of Judas, it would have been better if he had never been born. And if you hurt one of these little ones, be better that a stone be wrapped around your neck and thrown into the deep than you offend one of these little ones. There is, you can sell out the things of God. You can betray the things of God. You can stand against him. And there will be consequences. Or you can respond to the grace. Love like he loved. Serve like he served. Obey the Lord. You know, love. Do all the stuff we got to do because it's right without murmuring and disputing. And the world goes crazy. It's going to get crazier. It's not going to get better. You know, so strap, you know, pull up your loins. All right. Yeah, gird up. What is it saying, King James? Gird up the loins of your mind. Strap up. We got our Father. We can't lose. If you don't quit, you can't lose. That's what I wanted to share with you today.